All right, mic'd up. Someone's got to tell me we're back, guys. Please, thank you very much. Now I got reverb.
I lost it again.
Are we on the radio or not? Sal, are we on in New York? Sal? Are we on the air or not? Are we on the radio too or not? Can someone tell me? Sal, now I got reverb.
Eddie, my board here is all screwed. You got to fix it. It's not working at all. So you got to kind of piece it together here. You can fool around with it because I don't know what that means. Some kind of hieroglyphics I'm not familiar with.
We're not talking about the Yankees. Gaga, gaga, gaga. What is his behavior? Gaga, gaga, gaga. I didn't ask you that. Goes gaga.
Can you stop yelling at me?
None. None. Zero. He's done it never.
You gotta stop talking. Okay. Let me think for a second, because I can't think if you're talking. No, I don't want you to say anything.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I'm not gonna listen to anything. Bye. Cut him off, because I don't want to hear anything.
Well, let's both talk at the same time. Let's both talk at the same time, because it works real good. It sounds great on the radio, okay? Let's just both talk at the same time. It sounds great.
If you don't set it up.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday night show. TMF.com Live coming at you here from L.A. I'm Dave Medina, as you heard, here on Locks of the Week Radio. Your phone number, 424-258-9251. And we're running direct from the computer tonight, straight up to you, through the courtesy of Skype tonight. So this program probably brought to you by Skype tonight, and that's a sponsor you certainly want to have. It certainly beats those really seedy sponsors like the Brad Benson's Auto Group and Cars for Kids and God knows what, 5-Hour Energy. It's like, I can't trust a little bottle with like a couple inklings of juice to keep me up. I mean, who knows what's in that thing? Is it just direct caffeine? I have no idea. Now, some people may have used it to success. That's fine, but I don't really trust it yet to get myself on that level. It's Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. Call us up if you can. But we lead off tonight with the news, or really non-news, about the Carmelo Anthony trade that wasn't. Now, this is a fun story. First of all, Carmelo Anthony had been making overtures that he was going to be leaving for quite some time now. So, you know, no matter what happens, he's probably gone from the Nuggets at the end of this coming season. It's over. He's gone. Forget it. He's out of here. But the thing was, there were rumblings that he was going to be traded to the Nets. And then the Nets gave him an ultimatum. Like, the Nets, you're the Nets! What are you doing giving ultimatums? You're the Nets! It didn't take... The ultimatum went through, it came and went, and the deal basically was done. If you listen to the AP report, you'll read, it was kind of an amicable parting. It was an anonymous source that claimed the deal was done. And as far as Carmelo himself, he basically said, well, he says that he's going to commit himself to Denver. I love the game too much to disrespect the game like that. Anytime I step on the court, I'm going to give it my all, regardless of what's going on, what's the situation. Well, he's playing the company line, and that's a good thing. I'm glad that he's really gone ahead and just decided to, you know, do the right thing, just kind of do what he does until something gets worked out. But there's no question he doesn't want to be there. There really isn't any doubt in my mind that this guy does not want to play any longer for the Denver Nuggets. And can you blame him? Look at what's around Denver. It's nice. It's certainly beautiful. But man, it doesn't seem like a place where you could really kind of get out and be cosmopolitan with other people. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Call us in, 424-258-9251. That's your leadoff subject tonight. You know, George Karl wanted to meet with Carmelo Anthony to talk about things, but Melo said that he wanted to keep this discussion to basketball only. Okay. So the point is, it seems like he's just going to carry on for the rest of the season, and this four-team deal involving the Nuggets and the Nets and the Bobcats and the Utah Jazz ain't going to happen. All right, so Carmelo Anthony. That's a guy that you would certainly want on your team. Is he a guy that can take you over the top? I think he can. Some people are saying, well, he doesn't play the defense. Well, he doesn't pass the ball enough. Well, he's not a leader. Well, he's got questionable behavior. I would say that all those things are true, but he can score, dude. And even in the clutch, the guy is pretty good. Pretty good. You surround him with some talent, and you can see where they can go. They went to the Western Conference Finals. They roughed and toughed the Lakers for a couple games. They did lose eventually, but it was a situation where he had the right parts. You can give him the right parts. I mean, the biggest thing about people having him pass the ball. Look, do you want him to really pass the ball in clutch situations, or do you want him to shoot and score? That's the question. But be that as it may, he's going somewhere. We just don't know where yet. And it's amazing that the Nets bumbled this deal. I really thought, everything was in place. The salary was in place. The players were in place. Everything looked fine. The Nets were going to get a bunch of draft picks. They're going to have a pretty decent deal. They're going to get rid of Favors to get Carmelo Anthony. And Favors would have gone back to the Nuggets. Nuggets would have had all those picks. I think I was saying the Nets, but I meant the Nuggets were going to get the picks. It looked like it was a decent deal. They could have rebuilt around that. It would have been fine. But the Nets were just a little overzealous in their pursuit. But this is great news for Knicks fans because now it opens the door for them to potentially, not exactly, but potentially get a trade going with Carmelo Anthony. Now, that's another question. Did Melo hold out because he really didn't want to go to New Jersey? Well, number one, yes. But number two, it was something that you could certainly think about. And when you're thinking about places where he'd want to go, you can intimate intentions to Chicago, intimate intentions to the Knicks. And it's really up to the organizations themselves to get the guy. But right now, the Knicks are not in a position to really do that. It's really a tough situation. 424-258-9251, your number. Again, 424-258-9251 here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. TMF.com Live, I'm Dave Medina. Yeah, we're just getting started here on the program. And one thing that has really blossomed, besides this program itself, over the last couple weeks, is the Boomer and Carton Morning Show. Cover your ears, fun time. Cover your ears, because I'm about to say some stuff, and I don't think you're going to like it. But the thing about it is that MSG Network is, quote, excited by Boomer and Carton simulcast, which just began on the MSG Network in New York City. In fact, this report, which came out a couple days ago, had talked about how Boomer and Carton have become part of the MSG Network family. And the network is thrilled. An MSG Network spokesman said, "We're excited that we have the show, and more people are watching it now at the time than what we had at that particular time in the past. Way more." That's not much of an accomplishment, but it's still an accomplishment in the sense that they have an overwhelming response. Now, we know that Boomer and Carton airs from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern Time, from FAN Studios in Lower Manhattan. And I personally, meaning Dave, have not had a chance to really listen to the show in full, but I've heard like snippets here and there. It seems hilarious to me, but I need to listen to it more and more to get an idea of what it's all about. But here's the thing. Boomer and Carton is a big show. It is tops amongst the highly sought after 25 to 54 male demographic. This according to Jerry Barmesh of MediaBistro.com. And I'm telling you, this is a show that really could have the ear and the eyes of the young people in New York, and New York sports in particular. So some people will complain about it, some people will gripe about how the show is not this good or not that good, but the fact is, it is getting the audience, and however you do it, I think you have to give WFAN and Chernoff and the rest a lot of credit for getting something that works. And Chernoff doesn't really do that much, but he did it pretty well here. And the chemistry, if anything, I don't know a whole lot about the show, but I know that the chemistry between the two guys, Boomer Esiason, Craig Carton, pretty good. So I'm a fan of that. Now, I can't speak to how qualified they are as radio hosts and what their sports knowledge is, because I've not really listened to that show. But if you have, give us a call here on the program, 424-258-9251. We'll take a break in the city. When we return, the Yankee season has finally been clinched. They're finally in the playoffs. Can we please stop worrying now? We'll be back right after this. This is Dave in the City. Back at it here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina, your host, your number 424-258-9251. Tonight on the program, feel free to call in. No callers yet. And, boy, we're only a quarter past. Well, I'll do the best I can tonight to do a solo show with no callers. I've never done that before, at least live. I think I did maybe once. I did one show live where there was, like, no response or no phone calls or no guests. It's kind of my fault. We put so much effort into that NHL show, and we got everybody rolling. It was really one of the greater shows we've done. I was thankful to everybody. RKO, Mike in Jersey, Ron in Jersey, JB in Long Island, the Marquee with the cameo, and then obviously me in the middle just trying to drive traffic. It was really a lot of fun, and we hope that you get a chance to listen to it again at daveinthecity.podbean.com or on blogtalkradio.com too. All right, so here's the thing with the Yankees. I want to just talk about this right now because we've been hearing panic, and it's not just on one place, in one place. It's not just in another place, and it's not just in New York. I mean, everybody was going, what's going to happen with the Yankees?
Oh my good golly! I mean, they had a playoff spot basically cinched for about, I would say, 3 weeks. What are people complaining about? Really? You know, every day it's just another case of, oh, how could they be playing so badly? How could they be so terrible? And there's one guy in particular who I respect a lot who will often really hem and haw about the Yankee team. And it's just fans being fans. We all do it. You know, I certainly will say, oh, it's over. The Lakers are going to get swept in the first round. I mean, we all do this. It's not really that surprising. So I understand it, but it's still just kind of silly. It's kind of silly that the Yankees would be making people worry. You know, people already can sense that they were going to win this playoff spot. They could sense they're going to, they could sense more or less that they might not have the division. And they basically had the idea that they were going to get in the playoffs one way or another. And I think really all it was is that the team was kind of playing like it. Maybe it got a little out of hand. Maybe Girardi didn't really put enough emphasis on winning a couple more games. I can understand that. I haven't been following it that closely, but from my perspective, it seems like that has been the attitude. But it just happens. You know, things will happen. You'll tail off, and even if it's tailing off that much, it should be fine. But listen to just some of these people writing and yelling and calling and just really starting to grip and rip about the Yankees. You know, this from the New York Times. Ben Spiegel, there we go. You know, he says the swim goggles and the beer-sodden carpet in their clubhouse notwithstanding, life went on as normal Wednesday for the Yankees, who expected nothing different. See, that is a proper attitude, and that also ends the quote. You know, I think the thing is that if you're going to be a contender in the playoffs, you got to keep doing what you're doing. And according to Mr. Spiegel, that is the plan from Joe Girardi. They, for example, he says they're going to get Monday and Tuesday next week in terms of rest. But according to him, he's just going to let them keep playing throughout the rest of this week. In fact, A-Rod commented on the situation. He said, I think we keep pushing. Every game's important, and you want to keep playing good baseball, sharp baseball. The Yankees will not know their opponent, this according to Mr. Spiegel and the New York Times. And they won't know it really until the AL East is resolved. And it's not quite resolved yet. That's the thing. Anyway, this is Dave in the City on Locks of the Week Radio. Your number 424-258-9251. And really, I can we please just relax a little bit with the Yankees? Enough. It's a team that won the championship a year ago. A slightly different team, I understand that. But they will be fine. I've been saying this on the board on themikefrancesa.com. I've been telling other Yankee fans who've been a part of things. I'm just saying that this is going to be an okay. It's going to be all right. I'm going to just have to pat them on the back and just say everything's going to be all right. You're going to be fine. And it would not surprise me at all. It really wouldn't. If the Yankees were to sweep right through the first round and just render all this silly. You hear Mike Francesa on the radio just going, I couldn't believe that they couldn't get the... And just enough. Enough! Enough of this. And look, the question right now for the Yanks is, number one, do they have home field advantage? And number two, whether they do or not, who are they facing? Are they facing the Twins or the Rangers? Okay. My opinion is, if they have home field advantage and they're about to face either team, then you're good. But even if they don't have home field advantage, they're good. Do you really think the Rangers scare you? Do they have any singular starter other than Cliff Lee that you can really just instill fear in the Yanks? Not really. This is a pretty good lineup, and I know they've fallen on hard times. They've had their injuries and everything, but it is a good lineup. Robinson Cano had an MVP-like season. A-Rod's still A-Rod. Derek Jeter is old. Okay, so that's kind of a thing. But you do have a good assortment of players. Nick Swisher's having a decent season. It's a good lineup. Let's relax a little bit. Let's just relax a little bit. I'm not afraid of the Twins. The Twins always roll out the red carpet for the Yankees. I'm not afraid of the Rangers if I'm the Yankees, because the Rangers are very much inexperienced in terms of just the Rangers being the Rangers, I don't think it's such a big deal. I really don't. It's not like everybody's been playing amazing baseball the last week and a half. Nobody's really hot, per se. It's just insane. Absolutely crazy. So, anyway, if you want to comment, please do. Please do. We'll check up on our show chat at blogtalkradio.com/DaveInTheCity. Alrighty. You know, I think the thing about the Yanks that makes people get a little excited about them is that they've established such a great standard of success that if you even tail off a little bit from that really sterling standard, that really high standard, people start to worry. And it's just, I guess it's kind of an insecurity complex, maybe. More simply put, I think it's just a thing. It's just that if you're not used to something, you start to worry about it. What is it that they always say? You fear what you do not understand. And Yankee fans don't understand losing. And Yankee fans don't understand, you know, ups and downs, peaks and valleys, I guess. Even though they've had it. They've had it when they blew that series in 2004. I'm sorry I have to bring that up. But when they blew that series in 2004 to the Red Sox, they've had their share of failure. They failed in 2003. They failed in 2001, Game 7. We go through this over and over and over. But, you know, it's not always good times for the New York Yankees. And that's okay, you know, it's okay. It's okay to have a little bit of downs to go with your ups. It makes the ups more rewarding. But I'm just kind of waffling and babbling about nothing in particular. The thing is, I'm just saying, you look at these pitching matchups, you look at these rotations, and I think the Yanks have this thing down. They'll be fine. They will be fine. I will be shocked, absolutely shocked, if the Yankees lose a series in the first round in four or less games. Now, okay, if you're worried about the classic Dave jinx, then I understand that. But I really think they're going to be fine. What are the odds of the Twins beating the Yankees? You have to be honest with yourself. I don't see it. I really don't see it. I don't. I'm not impressed. I've always been a fan of the Twins lineup. When you talk about guys like Joe Mauer and Justin Morneau and Denard Span, and they got the O-Dog, I believe they have Orlando Hudson and guys like that. Jason Kubel kind of lights it up every now and again. It's a decent lineup, but none of those guys, when you get down to it, is sort of, other than maybe Mauer and maybe Morneau, are guys you can be like, oh no, here he comes. You know what I mean? You know, I don't really quite get that impression. And maybe it's an unfair thing to say. But more importantly, it seems to always be about the pitching in the end. I do think the Yankees have better pitching than the Twins do. Now, let me just go over the Twins rotation quickly, since we're still on the subject tonight. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio, 424-258-9251, if you want to call in. But let's just go quick. I'm just going to quickly look at this Minnesota Twins lineup. I won't spend too much time on it, but I'm going to look at their season stats for each guy in the rotation so far. All right. So first of all, Carl Pavano, come on now. Come on. I know he's having a good season, but he's a beatable pitcher. His stats certainly support a great season. They certainly do. He's had 17 wins. He's got a nice whip, 1.1. He's got a nice ERA. He's got a nice ERA plus. He's fine. But his strikeouts to walks ratio is 3.17. And that's really not that great. Really isn't. Francisco Liriano, 3.48. Yeah, no, he's fine. He's good. He's getting better. But is he a guy where you're like, dang, he could be a game stopper? Dang, he could be he's an ace. He's going to absolutely, positively get this win when we are on a big losing streak. I don't see him as that kind of a guy. And the other guys are decent, good to great, not really that good. Scott Baker with a 4.52 ERA. Kevin Slow with a 4.48. You know, I'm sorry, but this just isn't impressing me. I'm sorry. It's just not that impressive. The Twins are your classic. We win a bunch of games in the regular season. We play a lot of bad teams and pile up the W's. And then when we go out against the tough teams and we have the tough at-bats and the game slows down, they fold. And I mean, I want to think it's different. You have good reason to believe it's different. But some of these players, in fact, many of these players have played the Yankees in the past over the years. And it's the same result all the time. Even when they had Johan Santana in his prime, it was a tough go. Just goes to show you that you need a little more depth than what you got. So Twins are having a good season, whatever, but I would pick the Yankees 9 times out of 10 if you're giving me the choice. Anyhow, let's go to the phones on the program. 424-258-9251. We have a caller in the city, 516. You're in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Hey, Dave. First time, long time.
Who's this, sir?
This is Tom in Virginia. This is a different Tom in Virginia than the one that called the fan the other day.
Ah, yes.
This is Andy Pettit, or starting pitcher, whatever you will.
Tom, it's good to have you on the show, man. Starting pitch. Yeah, you're one of the good ones on the board. There's a lot of them, obviously.
Thank you.
So, you know, what is your feel for the Yankees going into October? I mean, are you also in that same boat that you're kind of getting a little nervous about it? What are you feeling about this team?
Well, I mean, I think over the past month or so, you know, my feelings have changed substantially. I mean, I had some confidence, but as the injuries began to pile up and then people started coming back from injuries and not being as good, if you look at the way that the Yankees have played in the past month, especially the bats slowing down, and it's kind of hard to watch. And you brought up about the starting rotation of the Twins and everything, and how they're not particularly on paper, you might not be able to say, "Oh, this guy's a standout star. Or, this guy's a starting pitcher, if you will." But when it comes down to it, you know, the other day, if you look at the way the Yankees performed against who is the kid that they threw out there with the long name that was all consonants? you know which guy I'm talking about. There's some guy that the Polish name Ski at the end. And then and all consonants in his name. And then I had never even heard of this guy. You know, he was the guy sitting next to me on the couch, you know, for all I know. But this kid, you know, shut them out for you know, I have no idea how long. But this guy was sending down Yankees left and right. So, if you look at the way Posada's playing recently, if you look at the way, Cano is on fire. Cano has been on fire all season. A-Rod has picked up. But you look at Jeter. Jeter's hitting into double plays left and right. You got you can't count on anybody, I don't think. And when it comes down to our starting pitching, I mean, you got CC.
You do.
Then who do you really got? You might have Hughes if Hughes has a good game. AJ is pretty much out of the picture.
No, forget AJ Burnett. Forget it. That's done. But you still got other guys. I mean, Hughes. Keep going. I'm sorry. You were going through the rest of the rotation.
No, well, I mean, I was fine for you to interrupt there, but not at all. Please take it away at any point. But if you look at our rotation, you look at a five game series, things can go. I mean, I know it's almost cliched, but things can go anywhere in five game series. And you know, aside from CeCe, who can you really count on?
Well,
if CeCe has a bad game,
yeah.
Then...
And I think that would be a big step in the right direction. No, don't forget your bullpen, which has got some bright spots. We already know about Mariano Rivera. We mentioned this, but. But then there's David Roberts.
I don't think Mo is a problem. Mo will never be a problem in my book. You know, he can blow a couple saves here and there, but you know he's human. But he will. He's always solid in the postseason.
Absolutely.
There's no worries with Mo in my book.
Certainly right. And so I mean, again, I mean, I'm just saying as far as this series, the division series. while you're right in saying that a lot of these guys, maybe they're untested, for example, in Hughes's case, or maybe they're old in Pettit's case and that sort of thing. But I still think these guys will better the starters you would have on a Texas or a Minnesota. You know, it's just, I just think so. Listen, Tom, you want to go over let's go over the starters for the Texas Rangers too, because I think it's important.
Sure.
I think it's important that we really just go through the numbers, and when we do that, I think we'll get a bigger picture, and I think it'll give us less reason to worry. Now I'm trying to be as objective as I can here tonight. Here in the city, Locks of the Week Radio on blogtalkradio.com/Dave in the City. Let's just go through this. Now, we know about Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee is one of the great starters in the AL right now. There's no question about it. I don't have no argument from anybody about that. That's a great pitcher. All right, we know that. So, you know, Lee and Sabathia, that's kind of cancel each other out.
You match up Lee with Sabathia. Sabathia gives up a couple of runs and the Yankee bats don't show up.
Yeah.
That's a scenario, you know. But those are the kinds of stats that can happen in any game, you know. But that's where I'm coming from. If CC loses his game against Cliff Lee, which is certainly a possibility, he could give up one run and lose to Cliff Lee.
All right.
And so, then you're left with the rest of the Yankee rotation.
Okay, but let's say Phil Hughes against a guy like that. Do you think Phil Hughes can match up with any of these guys? You got CJ Wilson, who's got 14 wins, but he's got 3.35 ERA. All right, he's doing pretty well. I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, can't argue with that. And when you look at some of his periffs, you look at, he's not much of a strikeout guy. He's only got, check that. He's got a lot of strikeouts, 166. All right, so that's kind of good. I can't argue with that. You've got Colby Lewis, who's kind of having a pretty pretty decent season for him, 3.72 ERA. All right. You got a point. We mentioned Heat Lee.
I mean, when Pettit came back and Pettit went, three and a third innings, I hope he's okay. And if he shows up, and then we have a chance. But once you get past CC, I don't think we have much. Hughes is Hughes, as Fred Sessa would say. Hughes is Hughes, and you can say about him that he's good. I mean, but you know, he might show up, he might not show up. He's untested in the postseason, or relatively untested in the postseason. I know last year he was huge coming out of the bullpen, but as a starter, to rely on this kid, I have no doubt. I do have doubts about him, but I think he's a solid second starter for us. But I think a lot of these games are up in the air. We don't have as solid a rotation as we'd like, and I really don't think our bats are there. At least they haven't been in the past month. So,
well,
it's a big question mark.
Okay, I understand that, but you never know. And I just feel like the Yankees, especially since a lot of these guys who are in the lineup to this year were in that same lineup last year, they could be having Lakeritis. This is a thing. There's a thing I call Lakeritis, and it's where, and it comes from the Lakers and their, their long regular seasons in the NBA. What happens is that if you're experienced and you've been through long playoff runs, you kind of save all your energy and you save your best stuff for when it matters in the playoffs. Now, it's not good. It's not something you want to see because, like you said, you can get clipped that way. But I get the feeling they're going to all come around okay. Now, Cano is great. We know that A-Rod, no matter how much he might be having a down year or whatever, he's a very good hitter, regardless. And Jeter, no argument for me. Okay, he's bad. He's bad this year. He's getting old, no doubt about that. Swish is fine. But that's like three hitters that you can say, all right, these guys are all right. I know you guys have your problems with Berkman. I know that you can't really round out that bottom of the lineup. But I still think you've got some good bats. I really do. I might be just off my rocker.
The thing about the good bats is you need them all to follow up on each other, and we've left far too many runners in scoring positions for me to be comfortable with that.
Well, I understand. Yeah,
I mean, I may be painting myself as a pessimistic Yankees fan, and all the Mets fans on the board are going to be looking at me and saying, "Oh, you're in a great situation here, and you got this hitter and that hitter, and you can complain about the little things." But when it comes to the first round in the playoffs, I think there is good reason for Yankees to worry or for Yankees fans to worry. And I think when people say, Yankees are overreacting or they're not, there's nothing for them to worry about, I think there is something where we can look at the Yankee order and we can look at the Yankee lineup and say, at least a lot of this does have to do with looking at how the Yankees have performed in the past 2 weeks.
Right.
And watching them get clobbered time and time again, and saying, does this team look like it's going to win the World Series this year? There's no question they can win the World Series this year. I might just be looking at this in October, and everybody comes around, and all the bats come, and CeCe's out of this world good, and Hughes comes through big time, and Pettit's perfect, and goes just the way he has been in the playoffs for forever. And then, given the way that they've played in the last 2 weeks or so, that's why Yankees fans are looking at the team right now and saying, they might be out in that first round.
All right. I understand where you're coming from, at least.
All I'm trying to do, and it does paint me kind of a pessimistic Yankees fan, but I'm trying to give a little bit of credence after your diatribe of sorts on Yankees fans overreacting, they're going to be out in the first round and everything. So that's all I'm trying to do.
Okay, I understand. I feel you.
I'm not trying to paint myself into the corner here.
So. No. I understand that. That's fine. And if I'm wrong, hey, listen, I'm open to the possibility that I'm wrong about this. And nobody knows more about the Yankees than the Yankee fans. I would imagine that, and especially those
Believe me, Dave, I hope you're right and I'm wrong. That would be the best thing.
I got a feeling I will be, though, in this case. In this case, division series, you only have to win 3 games. I think they'll trudge through that some way, somehow. Now, one last thing I want to ask of you before you go. Can you do that John Sterling impression you promised? I heard that it was either you or someone else on the board who was saying you can do a mean John Sterling. Let's hear that, if you don't mind.
All right. Well, I'll see what I can do. Live from the Lowe's broadcast booth in New York, this is New York Yankees baseball. I'm John Sterling. Let me do like a home run or something.
Okay.
So 1-1 is caught on and hit in the air to deep right field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Oh, Curtis, you're something sort of grandish. Oh, the grandy man can. The grandy man can. And so forth.
Boy, that is really good. You know, you even got the song down, the way he does that song and everything. That is fantastic.
Well, I do what I can for you, Dave.
Oh, that's great. Now, can you do the pitch is swung on and good. It is high. It is far. It is caught at the wall. Oh, we don't have a monitor here, Susan. Wait, what if I pretend to be?
I could do that. I'm afraid I'm going to wake my housemate.
All right. I don't want that.
I will give you one more. The Rivera deals. Caught on this. Strike three. Ball game over. Yankees win. Yankees win.
That is awesome, man. That is awesome. Let me add some Susan to that. You know, it just was a great bat.
Not gonna even try.
It was just just phenomenal. The greatness of Mariano Rivera, just fantastic.
How John? It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Just another feather in the Yankees history book. Anyway, that was great. All right, buddy. Well, it's good to hear from you on the air. It's really thanks for coming on. Come back again any time, Tom. I really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Dave. I was a little nervous at first, but you're very easy to talk to. You're a great host, and I enjoy listening. So,
I'm flattered. Thanks so much, man.
Have a good night.
All right, you too.
All right.
That was Tom in Virginia. I think it's West Virginia. It was either Southern Virginia, I believe, here in the city on Locks of the Leak Radio, otherwise known as Starting Pitcher, as in Andy Pettit is a starting pitcher. On themikefrancesa.com. We'll take a break, have more for you after this. 424-258-9251, your number. Be back with us soon. We'll be back. This is Dave in the City.
Best of times, but they're the only times I've ever known. time for meditation in cathedrals of our own. Now I have seen that sad surrender in my lover's eyes, and I can only stand apart and sympathize. For we are always what our situations hand us, and see the sadness or euphoria. Change. For all our mutual experience, our separate conclusions are the same. Now we are forced to recognize our inhumanity. Our reason coexists with our insanity. Though we choose between reality and madness, either sadness or euphoria. Similarities. It's either sadness or euphoria.
Welcome back in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. I'm Dave Medina, your host, and we are just continuing on till midnight tonight. That would be 9 o'clock here in the West. Another nice edition of the MikeFrancesa.com live as we get going here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. I am really happy to have you guys on here tonight. And I tell you, I think that It was, first of all, really great to have here from Tom in Northern Virginia. I apologize, I said Southern, but it was Northern Virginia, and I'm really pleased that he was able to stop by and do the things that he does. That Sterling impression was incredible. And now, during the commercial, I've been getting requests in the chat to be Mike Francesa. Let's see if I can do that. Coming to you live from the Blue Heaven, through the WFAN, and simulcast across the country on the YES Network. This is Mic'd Up, Francesa on the Fan, from the Blue Heaven Studios. I am Mike Francesa on the Fan. I just hope that you're having a great night. And we just wrap up another day in the Yankee season. Your calls coming up this afternoon. We'll be hearing from Peter Gammons. Later on the program, we'll be hearing from Steve Phillips. So Peter Gammons, Steve Phillips on the program tonight. The Mets, they continue to be a disaster. Yeah, you just couldn't even... John Maine was worthless to him. You know, that sort of thing. But we begin with the Yankees, another dreadful performance. It was like if I had to choose between the chicken or the veal. You always take the chicken. You know, that sort of thing. So that was my lousy attempt at Francesa on the Fan. Mike and Montclair, what's up? You know, that sort of thing. I don't know. Let's go to Locks of the Week.
It's time for Dave's Locks of the Week. Once again, Here's Dave Medina.
All right, here we go with another edition of the Lux of the Week.
A few things here.
And what was that? That was weird. I have a different music that we use. But yeah, let's go to the Lux of the Week tonight. And what we have this week is a couple of great, three great picks that I set up this week. There was one in particular that I absolutely, positively was big time on. I really liked it. I was a big fan of it. And honestly, I just think that if... that what when you go into it, you looked at it on the board, you saw it, you realize this is totally going to be an easy one, and that is the 1.5 points that they're giving, that they're getting, I'm sorry, that the Baltimore is getting for their game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Now I understand they're on the road and everything, but 1.5 points for a team that's pretty good. Their defense isn't what it used to be. I know their offense has been struggling, but this is a good team, and they're still trying to learn the ropes. I know that Joe Flacco is still trying to go out and learn how to play with his two new wide receivers. That would be Anquan Boldin and also... I just can't believe I forgot. But he's got two new wide receivers, and he's working to get them both integrated into the system. It's going to be it's a scary team to watch. I mean, this passing game could be great. I know that the Steeler defense has been great, too. It's going to be a close game, but you got to give it to Baltimore. +1.5, easily, in my opinion. And next we go out to... Really would be great if we had music. But next we go out to Buffalo, and Jets fans are going to be a little worried about this one, but I'm sorry, I got to pick the Jets, -5. They're going against the Buffalo Bills, and the Buffalo Bills will be fried, battered, and covered with hot sauce. I'm telling you, the Bills look like just a terrible team. And the fact that the Jets are only favored by 5, I mean, it depends on what's happening with Revis, but I just think this is a good team anyway. I think their offense really showed me something in the game against Miami last week. This is going to be a good team and a good test of the New York Jets to really put away teams that they should put away. And I got a feeling that they're going to do it. So they'll take the -5 and we'll give the 5 points to the Jets. They'll take that one. Finally, we go out to Florida where we will see the Indianapolis Colts face the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the Jaguars are every bit as bad as they look, even though they have some highlights. You know, we know about Maurice Jones-Drew. But their quarterback situation's a mess. I mean, they haven't been... Garrard is apparently not really fitting in well. People don't really like him. They actually got Trent Edwards from the Buffalo Bills. You know you're desperate for a quarterback when you're getting a guy from the Bills. So I just think that regardless of of the fact that they're home, which with no fans, by the way, I think the Indianapolis Colts come out there with their sterling offense and take this game easily. -7.5, they'll cover that and then some. Those are my locks of the week. New York Jets -5, Baltimore +1.5, and Indianapolis -7.5. We'll do this again next week, same time, same place, and we'll have music this time around as we get forward. Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. We have a phone call. Back to the phones we go. 315. Did I get this? Hang on. 315, you're in the city. Hello. On Locks of the Week. Hello, who's this?
This would be Chris from Syracuse, otherwise known as It's Your Own Show.
Hey, Chris, how you been tonight? In Syracuse, is that right? What's new with you?
Well, not much is new with me. I was just wanting to call in and comment on the Yankee situation.
All right, go for it. Earlier. All right. What's on your mind?
So, am I to understand that as a Yankee fan, I'm not supposed to be worried or I can't be worried?
Well, not
because I've watched some crappy baseball and some crappy outings, and I'm going to call it like I see it.
Well, I'm going to say this. They have not played good baseball. I know that. I know they haven't played good baseball. But this is the thing. Baseball is just a whole season. You got to take the whole of the season. You can't just take the parts and just assume that you can extrapolate a curve and that you'll end up with just one outcome. I just feel like there's going to be this is going to hit ahead, and then they'll be able to rise up again. Maybe you're right. You may be right. You may have a point. Maybe they certainly have shown signs that maybe they can't compete. But I find it funny that a lot of these same hitters
are involved. Man, I understand maybe they're in a tough situation. And I know you're right about the pitching staff. It's not really, you know, there's not a lot of depth. I understand that too. But CeCe's still going to be... Go ahead.
Well, I'm not really worried that they'll hit. I tend to think that I'm more of an optimistic Yankee fan. But if I told you I went in with no trepidation, like we're going to walk all over whoever they put in front of us, I mean, I'd be lying. They, you know, those other teams, cream of the crop, they only put eight teams in, and they're there for a reason. I mean, I know what you mean. They play, you know, the Twins, they play in the NL Central. They can just rack them up, which is true to a point, but they got some good bats, and they have some okay arms. And in a short series, that can be, you know, you screw up twice in a short series, and, you know, you might not ever come back.
That's true. And I know that this isn't the same teams that we've seen over the years. I mean, I'm talking years and years. That would be down in the series 0-2 and then come all the way back. I know they're not going to do that, but I don't think it's beyond...
Yeah,
right. It's not that... It doesn't have that same makeup. I completely understand. Would you say that the chemistry is not quite what it was in the olden days?
Oh, even from last year, I just don't get that same feel with the team.
Yeah, and that's a fair point.
Just not that same... togetherness, not like last year with where they came from behind, it seemed like every other night, and you know, it seemed no matter how deep of a hole they got in, they would always come out of it. I'm just not seeing that from this team.
Alright, well, you know what, again, if it happens, and then I will go out on this air, I will go on this program, I will start the show, and I will say, all these guys are right. I will say that, I will say Tom in Virginia is right, and you are right, and I will say that the captain is right, and I will say that Tommy was right, I will say that everybody's right, Mike Francesa's right, everybody's right, and I was wrong. Now, I mean, it does seem like a big battle to fight.
Well, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying that sometimes I think the worrying and the fear is kind of what makes it fun to be a sports fan.
Well, that's true, too. I mean,
it's not walking in there like you expect. I mean, we're all a little insecure about our team. That's quite obvious. I mean, I could say that my favorite football team, the Dolphins, to roll over the Patriots Monday night. But even I know that our offense can't match with Tom Brady's offense, and he'll just pick apart our improved but still very bad secondary, in my opinion.
All right. Well, I mean, no. Now let's transition to this for a minute, since you've managed to bring up a very interesting subject: the Patriots and the Dolphins coming up on Monday. Now, and I know you have other compadres who are also big time Dolphin fans. I mentioned threw in the compadres because it's apparently you know, Latino Heritage Month, or what you call it, on September. Here's the deal: Dolphins have a pretty decent defense, or at least that's what they're supposed to. That's what they say they do. You're right about the offense. It's kind of a situation. I mean, Henny, I'm kind of not. I haven't really made a decision on him yet. But here's the thing: the Patriots defense is really bad. It is really bad. I mean, they let the Bills back in the game. They had to fight tooth and claw to get rid of to put them away. You know, the Dolphins maybe it's going to be a close game, but I think the Dolphins would be at least favored, wouldn't you?
See, I don't know. I think that if they can hold the ball and sustain a running attack, you know, in a couple other games, it was like, I don't know. They started out running the ball good. In the Buffalo game, they started out running the ball good, and then they went away from it. And all of a sudden, hey, Buffalo's back in the game. And they went back to it, and they started running up and down the field again.
Yeah.
I don't know why they get away from it, because you know what? It's the one thing that they're pretty good at.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ricky and Ronnie.
That's it. And I tell you, their running game could certainly exploit the New England Patriots too. I just think that, you know, you talked to BAIBS on themikefrancesa.com. He's certainly not that high on their defense as a whole, the whole unit. I mean, that's going to be a fun one. I mean, here's something that I'm kind of hoping would happen. After that game, now I believe that is, let me check this. Now this is Monday Night Football. I would love to see, maybe not on Monday night, but the night after. It would be interesting if we were to get, if we could get BIBS and yourself on this program to break it all down. That'd be fun, but I'm just kind of wishful thinking my part. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to say this right now. As a Steeler fan, as a longtime Steeler fan, I should say, about 10 years now, good luck to the Dolphins this Monday night. I hope they win the game, and I got a feeling that they might. We'll see what happens. Hello?
Yep. Well, like I said, I think it could be a high-scoring affair, but I just see the Miami defense, and I see Tom Brady riddling it full of holes with Wes Welker, the former Dolphin, who would look really good in white and orange and aqua right now. That is one thing for sure.
Well, he'd look good in any uniform. I mean, no question about it. All right, well, again... anything else you wanted to add? I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Thanks for having me on. First-time caller. I've called Melusis a few times, but I'm pretty sure there's more people listening to me now than when I called the Moose. So I was a little nervous, but I'll probably call back at some point, and you do a great job.
Well, thank you so much.
On the board.
All right, my friend. Be good yourself. Have a great night. Well, that was really great, the Get Your Own Show on the program tonight. And this is Dave in the City, Locks of the Week Radio. Just a few minutes left. Yeah, this is crazy. I mean, I guess in New York, people really care about their baseball. And I think that's been obvious from the moment I started watching baseball. And when I was growing up, it was the Mets. And then through the years, it became the Yankees. And I completely understand. I've been there. And even Lawnmower says, hey, when I'm watching the Dodgers and they're in a big game, I get pretty nuts too. We all do. It's certainly a tendency of all fans everywhere. So I'm looking at this as an outsider. I have no connection to the Yankees, really. I'm not really rooting for or against them per se. I guess given the choice, I would root for them. I suppose I'd root for them to lose, but I never get absolutely it's my every living, breathing dream to see the Yankees fail. Why would you do that? I mean, you gotta have successful teams in baseball. What if nobody was successful? That'd be pretty rough to watch. You need to have a bar. You need to have a standard, I would say. In every sport, it's good that you have that one team that has established the bar of success. And in the NFL, that those teams right now, you'd see like the Colts, you'd see the Patriots and the Steelers and teams like that. And in basketball, you see Duke and I guess of late Kentucky and Kansas. And in college football, we're seeing Florida, Texas, and Oklahoma, and it used to be USC, but then they got sanctioned to the moon. Those kind of things are important. I absolutely understand and completely agree with that. So, you have that standard, and despite having that standard, it's a team of any stature can be fallible, and the Yankees are certainly among those teams, and they are not immune. And I completely understand it, and I completely agree with that. But I still think this is really one of the more talented teams in the game, and I'm willing to be proven wrong on this. I am, but we're just gonna have to see them play the games. That's the bottom line, isn't it? I think that's gonna be the way we will be going with that. And listen, that's gonna be a lot of fun. So anyway, thank you for joining us in the program today. You've all been good fans. We hope to have you again here tomorrow. Remember, tomorrow we're going to have a special on the San Francisco Giants and their season outlook and their potential playoff chances. Be there if you could. 11 o'clock Eastern time right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm Dave Medina, speaking for Dave in the City. Hope you all have a great night, and we'll see you next time.